Welcome to Logan City Christian Church podcast, where we bring God's word to you weekly. We pray that what you hear will bring clarity to your situation and open doors in your life. Enjoy the message.
Praise God. Pastors Rob and Chantel are away. They're traveling at the moment, having a break. So keep them in your prayers. They're doing well. Just need a time of refreshing. And so, yeah, God is good. Keep us in your prayers, keep this church in your prayers. We're always planning to move forward, as you might have heard on the church announcements. For our podcast, our church podcast, we've got that going. Every sermon that is preached here on Sunday is uploaded every Tuesday. Every Thursday, we have our Thursday classics, where we've gained access to sermons of old of Pastor Reg Klimenok, who listened on Thursday, who was blessed by Thursday. It was really, really good. So join a platform that you can listen to podcasts. If you need help, go see someone in this church. I don't know who. Rohan's here. He's at the back there. Go see Rohan. He'll sort you out with a platform that you can listen to podcasts. So every Tuesday is church sermons, every Thursday is sermons of old, every Friday is Real Talk Friday, where we're going to be interviewing pastors, missionaries, and everyone like that, and we're going to be discussing about experiences they've had, and it's going to be good. Hallelujah. So that's a new door that's opened in this church. We're very blessed. So keep praying for us as God continues to keep the ball rolling, so to speak. Youth every Friday here. Prayer meeting every Thursday night, 7 p.m. Can I encourage you to come to prayer meeting? Every Thursday, 7 p.m. here, and every Sunday morning, 7 a.m. here as well. So we know that in times past where people have come together to seek God and pray, God has always been faithful and moved. And so we're believing for that, and we're seeing our fair share of resistance, but we're also seeing breakthrough as well in a lot of areas. So if God has put it on your heart to pray, come join us every Thursday, 7 p.m., and every Sunday morning, 7 a.m. Both are here, and it'd be great to have you here. Lord, we just thank you for this time as we enter into your word. Holy Spirit, as we prepare our hearts right now, Lord, we thank you for the seed that is going to be sown into our lives. Lord, we know that your word never returns void. And God, we thank you that we shall receive an abundance from your word this morning. God, we thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. God, we honor you. In Jesus' name we all say it. Hallelujah. I want to continue on from what Pastor Ollie's been speaking about the last few times he's been up here, talking about trials, and we've been looking at James chapter 1, and when James wrote this letter saying, for us to count it all joy when we fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of our faith produces patience, as the New King James Version says. But that word really, when we break it down and get to the foundation of that word, it's an endurance. That no matter what you and I face in life, that these tests and trials that we go through, it's a struggle. It's really hard. And the last thing that you and I feel like doing is rejoicing, or to count it all joy, or to praise God, as was mentioned earlier this morning. But then Paul makes this incredible statement where he learns to rejoice in afflictions, knowing that when he goes through these tough times, that he receives an abundance of God's grace in his life, that when he is at his weakest moment, Paul says, I become strong. And so through these times that we face, that we tend to come to the end of ourselves and cry out to God saying, God, I don't know what to do, where to turn, who to speak to, what to say, or where to go. But Lord, I'm coming to you. And when we are in that vulnerable state, that's a place where, one, God wants us to be, always coming to him for every need. But secondly, when we get to that place, we operate in a strength that is far beyond our own, a wisdom from heaven that we operate from. See, James says later on, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all what? Freely. In other words, we actually have access to all the wisdom that God has. Every bit of wisdom that we read that Solomon operated with as a king, that he was such a wise king, that people would come from far, far around the world to come and just to speak to him, spend a moment with him. That very same wisdom we have access to. When we come to him. James says, when we ask that God gives to us freely. And that's when we tend to understand of just how good God is in our lives. That when we can come to the end of ourselves, in a place in life where we feel like that it's just an end, there's just destruction, I don't know where to go to from here, we find that grace and we understand that God is not done with me yet. See, many of us, the time when we got born again, we found the saving grace of God because we had given up on all of our worldly adventures, correct? We've done everything, we've been everywhere, we've tried everything, and yet everything failed us, and we come to that point where we don't know where to turn, and then someone shares the light of the gospel, and we reach out and cry out to God, and he saves us because we came to the end of ourselves. And James is saying here, he's saying, church, you're going to be in times, even though you are saved and you are a child of God and you do have the Holy Spirit, you're going to face times where, and I'm going to face times where we just don't know where to turn. There are hard things that we face in life where it seems like Satan is coming all around us and we see nothing but destruction. And when we cry out to God, once again, we see his saving grace. Hallelujah. And so, coming off the back of hearing a few sermons about trials and tribulations and how faithful God is, and the title of my message, what a long intro that was, is I Have a Reason to Live. And I really want to start with some of the promises that God has for us. I mean, it's always good to read about some of the promises that God has. See, we read in 1 John 1:9, John says that if we confess our sins to God, that he is faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Isn't that good that we serve a God that who even though he saved us from our mess and cleaned us up, we've failed him many, many times. I know I have since I've been born again. I've failed God many, many times. And yet it's just incredible that the love of God that is extended towards me, that I've received, that I've found in my walk with God, knowing that no matter how many times I've failed him, or no matter what my weaknesses are, that if I can continually keep coming back to God saying, Lord, I might be struggling in an area of my life, or I might keep tripping over the same hurdle in my life, God, I thank you that you haven't given up on me. And because you haven't given up on me, I'm going to your word, and now I'm confessing my sin to you, knowing that you are faithful and just to forgive me of this sin that I've just committed. And that not only are you going to forgive me, you're going to clean me up, you're going to get rid of it, and you're going to pick me up, dust me off, so I can continue following the will that you have for my life. And so through a wilderness experience, we actually tend to make more mistakes than any other period in our life. Well, I don't know about you, but that's what I've found personally. That when times are tough, I actually find out what's in here. Amen? Amen. Give me an amen if we're all on the same page. Because there are times where, you know, things are good, life is good, and we're cruising, and it's just like, yeah, Lord, I'm kicking goals for you. This is awesome. Christianity is a breeze. And then all of a sudden, it starts getting hard. And then I start asking questions. I go, Lord, what's really going on? Why do I have to face this? Why are these people saying this? What's going on here? And then my attitudes get revealed, and my thoughts get revealed, and all these things that were actually in there that I never saw when times were good start coming to the surface. Amen. Because last week, Pastor Early spoke about gold refined. I mean, we can dig gold out of the ground and it still is gold, but that gold needs to be refined. And when gold gets refined, it doesn't just come out of the ground and get polished up and all shiny and put on a shelf. That gold gets brought in and it gets heated up to the point where it melts. And when it starts melting, that they're taking away all the impurities of that gold. And church, we are the same. Is that yes, when we get saved, we are a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old is gone and the new is come. Amen. And so we are that new creation. Yet we are not fully sanctified yet. That there is a call of God on our lives that we actually don't have the character to fulfill. Hallelujah. I mean, the saving grace of God is amazing. Yet as we continue on our journey, there are things in our life that need to be dealt with. And that is the will of God for our lives. Ultimately, number one, that when you and I are living life, that we deal with the things that we know shouldn't be in here. That we can be honest with ourselves and come to that throne room of grace and say, Lord, I need your help. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And so if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Church, we serve a good God. We serve a God that won't give up on us, that loves us, that didn't just give us one chance. It says, you better prove yourself to me. How many people here that you may have had a bad father? And because of that experience, you sort of feel that God's going to be the same way with you. But the moment you make a mistake, it's all over. I'm here to tell you, God is not like that. Because not only does God love us, it says that God is love. That the very character of God, his nature is love. And out of that love, we read in John that God so loved the world, a dying world, a sinning world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever calls on the name of the Lord, that we, when we call on God, when we reach out to God, the world shall be saved. God is a good God. He's a good Father. 2 Chronicles 7:14, that if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Another promise from God that when our back is turned against God, when we have things in our life that we choose not to forgive. See, we're living in a time where this world is trying to get rid of the testimony of God. We are seeing politicians, we are seeing media do everything they can to wipe out the church. They're trying to wipe out the testimony of God, the testimony of the church. The very miracle that God has placed in our lives, they're attacking that. And so when we are up against it, not every person shall stand. We see that in Revelation chapter 3, the Laodicean church that just sort of can't submit to truth but just wants to have a foot in each camp. And when we choose as people to have a foot in each camp, we've actually turned our back on God. See, it's impossible to serve two masters. Jesus says so. That we will either love one or hate the other. And so the church of Jesus Christ has to be totally sold out. We have this world trying to stop us, trying to wipe us out. But the good news is every born-again believer has world-changing power. That was a good time to say amen. We have world-changing power. See, when we as his people operate in the power and the authority that God has given us, has given to his church, there's nothing on earth, whether it be physically or spiritually, that can stop us. We read in Job chapter 1, verse 10, Satan actually says to God, have you not made a hedge around him, which is around Job? Around his household and around all that he has on every side. Have you not made a hedge? In other words, God, when people are moving, when we're praying, when we're seeking God, when we're committed to his word, we have this assurance that God is on our side. That really, no matter what we're facing in life, we have this foundation, this knowledge that can get us through. God, you are on my side. Even though the world is against me, my family may even be against me, but God, you are for me. And God, I know that when I read your word says that if God is for us, who could be against us? And so knowing that, the promises of God is that if we were to be in a position where our backs are turned against God, where I even know of people right now that think they're okay with God but aren't, it's like the grace of God is there for people to turn and repent. God has made a way. Hallelujah. That church, if you are here this morning and you know that your life isn't right before God, I'm not here to condemn you or to tell you to leave. I'm saying you are in the right place this morning because God loves you with an everlasting love. He wants you to repent so he can wrap his arms around you and love you and protect you and bless you and give you everything you need to live a successful life. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, hallelujah. See, humility is Well, it can be hard sometimes. I think the most silly prayer that we could ever pray is, Lord, humble me. Because when he starts to answer that prayer, which he will quite quickly, we go, geez, I wish I never prayed that. Amen. We see, when we read the book of Daniel, Daniel's in a place where, I mean, it's unfortunate for him because he never asked for the situation that he was born into. Daniel, being a good man, an honest man before God, one that, where we see by the law and everything, he's honoring God with his life, yet he's stuck in exile. He's in a foreign country that worships other gods and idols, and the demonic is all around him. And yet we see that Daniel's heart was never bitter towards the people that put him there in the first place. A man that's stuck in a foreign country had lost his family, his friends. His home's gone. Everything he grew up and knew about was now completely over. And Daniel's in a point where, I guess you could say, this trial or this situation he was in, he could be like, oh, well, what the heck? You know, I may as well just do what everyone else is doing now. I'm living in a world where anything goes. This country of Babylon, it's just, well, I can just, the things that I've never tried to eat, I can eat now, and maybe I can start drinking a lot of wine now, because, you know, back when I was living righteously for God, I couldn't. But, you know, where is God now in this? Because everything I had is gone. I sort of feel sorry for Daniel. But at the same time, when we read through his life, God had blessed him in every single area. And it always comes back to that one part where it says, but Daniel made a decision in his heart that he would not defile himself. In other words, no matter what others wouldn't see, he was determined in his heart to honor God with his life, no matter what he faced. And we see the hand of God on Daniel, and it's such an incredible story, an absolute testimony to what a person can do when they're totally sold out for Christ. But what I want to get into here is the prayer of humility that Daniel prays. When we read in chapter 9, he says this: we have sinned and done wrong. We have been wicked and rebelled. We have turned away from your commands and laws. We have not listened to your servants, the prophets, who spoke in your name to our kings, our princes, and our ancestors, and to all the people of the land. Daniel understands the reason why Judah is there. Judah is in exile, and yet he has the humility today. We have sinned. A man that included himself, he never said, Lord, they sinned. Lord, it's all their fault. God, strike them. Have you ever been in a position where something's just really unfair? You've never done anything to deserve what you got, and it's just unfair. And we want to get, you know, righteous and holy. And Lord, just the same way that Elijah called fire from heaven, Lord, I exercise that authority on these people in Jesus' name. You know, that's what we want to pray, right? Or when Elisha gets teased and he curses those young people and a lion a few bears come out and maul those kids. In our flesh and in times, we want to just, Lord, strike them. Lord, deal with them. Lord, sort them out. But God says that vengeance is mine. And Daniel gives us such an amazing example. We have sinned and done wrong. In other words, God, I'm no better than anyone else. Even though there might be people persecuting me and what's being said about me might be unjust, Lord, I've done a lot of things wrong in my life too. Lord, I pray blessing on them. Lord, that your hand would be upon them. God, that their ears would be open, that they could turn and repent and live a life full of your blessing. Jesus says to bless those and not curse. And we see Daniel doing this. It's a hard thing to do. It takes the Spirit of God to pray that prayer. It's beyond our strength as human beings. Hallelujah. So God is always on our side. He always wants to be there for us. He always is there for us. The second one is the Holy Spirit, the second promise. We see that the Holy Spirit was given to the church. Jesus says in John 16, that where he promises the Holy Spirit, he says, I must go so that he may come. Even though you don't want me to go, it is actually for your benefit that I leave so that I may send him. And in verse 13, he talks about the Holy Spirit being the Spirit of truth that guides us through all things in life. Now, the Holy Spirit is very important through our trials because he regenerates, he dwells within us, he baptizes, he guides, empowers, sanctifies, he bears witness, he helps us, he's the giver of joy, and he gives us discernment. Amen. Can I just bring out one thing? The giver of joy. There was a man that got saved that I know. He was dying. He had, I believe, about maybe 1 to 2 months left of his life. He was considered dead. And yet the day he got saved, he said he had such an unspeakable peace in his life. And he said, he told me this, he said, even though the situation didn't change, he said, my body was still riddled with cancer. In the natural, I was a dead man walking, but he said there was an unspeakable peace that I had in my life. And so when we see that the Holy Spirit is a giver of joy, we have to understand his joy is not based on circumstances. Joy comes from heaven. And so you and I, whatever we face, no matter how down we feel, we know that we can reach out and receive a joy from heaven which overshadows and overrides all of our frailties, all of our evil thoughts, all of our emotions, and that we can operate in a joy. Hallelujah. See, if we can turn to Acts chapter 2, we'll quickly turn there. Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, we know, 1 to 4, sorry. Acts chapter 2. Verses 1 to 4. Very common, very powerful. We've heard it a million times. And this morning, it's 1,000,001. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 2, verse 1. When the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Then there appeared to them divided tongues as of fire, and one sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And we think, man, these people must have been incredible believers that they could receive such a gift, operate in such a movement, be there for such a time where revival breaks out. The Holy Spirit moves on all flesh, just was prophesied in Joel. But these were people just like you and I here today. We know that there was a man named Peter who said, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go, even unto death. And then later on denies him. I do not know this man. He's one that was called by God. He had Christ, you are the Son of the living God. And Jesus says, well done, flesh and blood hasn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And so here's Peter, a man that is ticking boxes and all of a sudden is found fishing. He left the call of God and is found in a boat because of a failure. And so we have to understand that when we read Acts chapter 2, this isn't full of people that are just amazing and never make mistakes or never say anything wrong. These are people that are flaws and failures, just like you and I. But God had a plan. Regardless of what they thought of themselves or what they thought of each other, God had a plan. In church, it's the same today. God has a plan. Regardless of your trial, whatever you're facing, it doesn't matter because God's still got a plan. I mean, I'm sure there are people here that we've received prophecy, right? For thus says the Lord, God is going to do this, this, this in your life, and he's calling you to do this. And God, through a person, reveals the direction that we are to take, right, through prophecy. And so when we receive that prophecy, it's in an environment where the Holy Spirit's moving and we're so excited and we receive it with joy and we can see ourselves preaching or singing or witnessing on the streets and we can see all these marvelous things, but we never seem to think about the trials that we're going to face. And so when we face these trials, we go, oh, well, maybe it must have been a mistake. No, the plan of God never changes. It never, ever changes. And this is the same here where Peter and the other disciples and there was Mary and others that were in this upper room, that they received the call of God on their life. That yes, they fulfilled a bit of it when Jesus was on earth, but they received the fullness right there. They continue on and they preach. Peter preaches and it says about 3,000 people get saved. And we read in Acts chapter 3 where they're going to the synagogue and that lame man is healed and there's such a joy in the city. God is moving in Jerusalem. Everyone just witnessed a miracle that cannot be denied because this man was lame from birth. And yet instead of like everyone just going, well, this must be truth, we see that Peter and John are arrested. Isn't it funny how when we start to operate and start to move in the call of God, when we start to take his word seriously, when we start to come to that place of truly surrender, Satan's just around the door waiting to stop us. And that's always the case. There's nothing new under the sun. And we see here that the very same thing where Peter and John are arrested and they're threatened and they're told not to preach in the name of Jesus. And it says that they continued to threaten them after. But their prayer is something that I really want us to take hold of this morning. And Acts 4, and we're going to read from verse 23, says this, and being let go, they went to their own companions and reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord. What church, what did they do? They raised their voice to God. Who'd they go to? They didn't whinge and complain amongst themselves. They didn't just go, well, that was a nice miracle. That was a great time in the upper room. We'll just see what God's going to do from here, but you know, I'm just going to jump back in my boat again and start fishing again. No, it says that they raised their voice to God. In their time of trouble, they raised their voice to God. When they had experienced the goodness of God and Satan immediately came in to stop the work of Jesus, it says that they raised their voice to God. God was their first point of contact. And this is what they said. Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David has said, why did the nations rage and the people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles and the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. Let's just read that again. Now look, it says in verse 29, now Lord, look on their threats. God, look what they're trying to do. And they didn't say, Lord, strike them. Lord, send fire down from heaven. Lord, let there be plagues come out and destroy them. They prayed this. Lord, look at their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word. In other words, Lord, there is this situation that is coming against us, but regardless, Lord, we want to operate in your grace. We want to move in your power. We want to have everything, all the fullness of heaven, all of your might. We want to experience it in our lives so that when we go out, even though people are threatening us and trying to kill us and want to destroy us, Lord, we want to see you move. And what an incredible testimony. Church, do we have it this morning where when we go through hard times, we're not, Lord, why? Lord, destroy this person. God, get rid of this. Lord, I need your grace. God, whatever I am facing, Lord, this problem, you know, I don't have what it takes. God's saying, yeah, that's right, you don't. But in me, you do. Paul said, I pleaded with the Lord 3 times that this thing would be taken from me. And what did Jesus say? My grace is sufficient for you. Jesus says, my grace is made perfect, my strength is made perfect in weakness. In other words, sometimes the plan or the will of God in our lives isn't getting rid of the problem. It's us being able to operate in his strength and not ours. First Samuel, we see a man of God that operates in this strength. And we see David as a young boy. David being a child of eight, where Jesse, his father, had 8 sons. David being the youngest. And we see that when Samuel come to anoint a new king, that David wasn't invited. Samuel comes into town and he says to Jesse, get all your sons. And we're going to have a feast. And so how many does he grab? All but one. And so I could only imagine maybe the lack of love that David had experienced from his father. We know that his brothers didn't like him. And yet he was a man that was after God's own heart. See, our past never determines our future in God, nor does the present. And maybe the situation that you're battling isn't present today, but it might be something that you might be still hung up about that happened years ago. See, our past, when it's truly surrendered to God, will never hinder us. It can't. When we are truly surrendered to God, Everything in our life, our time, our money, our friendships. Let's read 1 Samuel chapter 17. We'll read from verse 41 to 47. David is now in battle against Goliath. And from verse 41, so the Philistine came, which is Goliath, and began drawing near to David. And the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good-looking. So the Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, "Come to me and I will give you your flesh. I'll give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field." Then David said to the Philistine, "You come with me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." We understand that from then on that David actually won the battle. He won it easily. But the incredible thing is here's King Saul, that it says that when King Saul, the man who was meant to fight, heard the cry of Goliath, it says that him and the whole army fell in fear, that they did not have what it takes. Yet he was a young boy anointed of God that had what it took, that had what it takes to win, to see victory in his life. See, a lot of the times when we're facing a battle, not only does it just present itself in the natural, but there is a spiritual thing behind it. See, when it says that Goliath cursed David by his gods, that was a common practice in battle. See, nations, when nation would rise up against nation, they would go and they would sacrifice to their gods, and they would cut themselves, and they would do all these different things, that they would actually get in touch with the supernatural, the demonic, before they went out to fight. And so here's Goliath, a man that knows the demonic, a man that actually understands what it means to fight in the spiritual before the natural. Today, you and I would call it witchcraft, but here's a young boy that is full of the Spirit of God, that is faced with the giant of a man before him, and this giant of a man not only has physical advantage, but operates in the demonic that is cursing him. If only we could see with our natural eyes, our spiritual eyes, that battle, the demons that would have been around in that camp. I mean, we hear of stories of people that are demon-possessed and that just operate in such darknesses, and that can put curses and spells on people. And I don't know, I'm sure there's a lot of people here that you've seen that. You've seen people delivered from the demonic. You've experienced witchcraft before. We've seen it. Here's a man, David, that is up against it in a fight. And we see what David says, that, you know, you come to me with a sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord. I mean, that's easy for me to say behind a pulpit, but when your life is on the line, you need the Spirit of God. And so reading this, I understand that not everything I face is, even though it appears in the natural, it's happening in this realm. Maybe we need to ask, what's going on in the supernatural? See, Job lost everything in an instant. And everything he lost was in the natural, but yet who was behind it? Satan was behind it. It says that Satan came in and destroyed everything that Job had. And so sometimes we can go, wow, this is so unfair, or whatever. But a spiritual person can see beyond the natural. And not only just be able to see, but have what it takes to be able to fight. We see the incredible victory that David was won. And yet that victory that David won, it encouraged the whole camp. And maybe you here this morning, your battle is bigger than you. Maybe the battle that you're facing this morning, that breakthrough that you receive, not only encourages you and gets you through, but may allow your family to follow in and receive the blessing. Your breakthrough might just be able to reach out to a huge number of people and see a lot of people come to Christ. Who knows the benefit of your breakthrough, of my breakthrough? Never ever get discouraged and give in. As a person here says, never give in, never give up. In other words, the moment, the day we give up, Satan wins. Yet if we can just keep getting up day by day by the grace of God, through the glory of God, being able to continually fight, Lord, I don't understand that another day might be a day of heaviness, but Lord, I'm turning to you for grace. Lord, it is by your strength that I'm going to operate today. Not my own strength, not my own wisdom, but Lord, I am totally surrendered to you. The hardest choice that anyone can make is to overcome what they're facing, what Satan's trying to do to pull us down. It is such a joy and a victory when we can overcome those struggles by the grace of God. See, we read the story of Paul, and I close on this, that when we read of what Paul went through, we go, my goodness, persecuted by people, persecuted by those left by his friends. He'd faced shipwreck. I don't think there is a thing that Paul didn't face. He'd been through everything. Yet nothing or no one could stop him. Why? Because Paul never operated in his own strength. It was by the grace of God. Church, we've been saved not to add Jesus to our life, but to control our life, that he can lead us through life, that he can strengthen us in life. We are very vulnerable to the things of this world. That the moment that we realize that we really have little influence over, like, we don't know what tomorrow brings. We've all faced situations where we were living life and then all of a sudden something terrible happened and we're just shocked and just, we're just stumped and we just can't believe. We don't know what tomorrow holds. But yet when a believer is operating in the grace of God, they have the assurance that I will get through this situation. I will. Church, when we are surrendered to God and operating in his grace, like his grace, in other words, whatever I lack, God is going to give me. That's just Christianity in a nutshell. If we haven't figured that out already, I pray that we get to know it this morning, that whatever I lack in life, God will give it to me. Whatever my weaknesses, my poor choices, the lust of the flesh that I give into, my bad attitudes, all those things that I just can't seem to get rid of, can be gone by his grace. Hebrews 4:16 says that we are to come boldly to the throne of what? Grace. Come boldly to the throne room of grace. That means that we can be just who we are. You could be addicted. You could be in a mess. You could be bankrupt. You could have no family left. It doesn't matter your situation. The reason why we're to come boldly is because God just wants us to come as we are, with every single bit of baggage. And it says, come boldly to the throne of grace. In other words, we can come before God just as we are. And the reason why we're coming there is that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So we receive mercy, that the mercy of God towards our life, we can receive forgiveness from all of us, all that good stuff. We receive it from God freely. It's part of His word. His word is true. God is a God that never lies. So we can come boldly to God in our prayer room, in our time of prayer, and say, Lord, you know the filth in my life, or the unforgiveness in my life, the darkness that I've allowed into my life. God, here is my baggage. I come to you. I receive your mercy. I receive it. I don't deserve it, but I receive it. And now I'm claiming hold to your grace to help me, to help you in our time of need. So God's grace is just, I don't know, I'm so thankful that what I can't do, God will empower me to do. I don't know, I feel like I'm sort of stuck on this morning. Like, I just keep repeating this. I feel like someone needs to get it here this morning. What you can't do, God wants to work through you in your life. And so, God, I'm struggling in this area, and you've said sorry, God, a million times, and you just seem to just keep repeating this vicious cycle. And nothing is changing in your life. It's about time you experience God's grace. That the power of God may dwell among you and on me, that we can see His power move, that those shackles be destroyed, that whatever Satan has placed to put and stop you from walking with Christ, that by God's grace we get rid of it. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. This week, when I was in prayer, I received a word from the Lord. And I know it's for one person here this morning specifically. I don't know who you are. But I received this word that you're scared to commit. You're scared to fully commit to God because you have failed in the past. Your history, your record is just a record of failure. That's all you've experienced in life. Is everything that you've tried to do, you failed in, and nothing's ever worked. And it's just you've gone from one bad thing to the next. And I know that you're here this morning, and it could be more than one person, but I really felt that you are scared to fully surrender to God because you feel like you're going to fail Him. You believe in God. You love God. You believe His word, but you are so scared because of your history to fully surrender to God. I just want to say God's plan for you is incredible. The call of God on your life is amazing, whoever you are. And I just want to say it doesn't matter how many times you fail God. What counts is how many times you get back up. Because there will never, ever be a perfect Christian that walks the face of this earth. But God's mercy and grace is there for your life. the moment you fully surrender is the moment where you receive grace like you've never experienced before. Could we actually, could all of us stand this morning, please, right now? I would actually like to pray for that person, whoever that is. If you could come up the front, right here, just right here. Whoever you are, I received that word earlier this week that you are afraid to fully surrender to God because of past failures. If that is you, can you please come down the front here and I'm going to pray for you. If you want to receive Jesus this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, can you please come down this morning and I'm going to pray with you. You're going to receive the saving grace of God. I know the Holy Spirit is touching your heart. Could you please be so bold to come forward and receive this life-changing experience? Hallelujah. Now, if there's anyone that you want to receive Christ, would you come forward? If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, would you just please, please come and receive Him, surrender your life to Him? If you know you're in a position where you're not 100% in right relationship with God, that you know you've been lacking in this area, would you please come and rededicate your life to Jesus Christ right now? If that's you, please come. If you've come with someone, they'll come with you. Grab them by the hand, bring them down, say, I need prayer. But just please, the cry from heaven this morning, would you please come? Just come. Just come. Hallelujah. Thank you for coming. Hallelujah.
Thank you for joining us. We pray God's richest blessing on your life. If you haven't already, make sure to join us on Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube. You can also find us at LoganCityChristianChurch.com. See you next week.